Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm so glad you stopped by. My name is Connor Morganti, and I'm devoted to bringing you the best of all things money each and every week. When it comes to money, do you feel like you missed something along the way? Do you ever think that financial prosperity just isn't in the cards for you? If this hits home, don't feel alone. I've talked to hundreds of women whose overarching feelings about money are stress and confusion. The financial world can be daunting. Trust me, I know it's not a subject that's always user-friendly, accessible, or directed particularly towards women. But, and it's a pretty important but, if you're ready to take charge of your personal finances, congratulations. There's nothing more empowering than understanding how money works, and more specifically, how it can work for you. Join me each week to get your free money coaching while all the while keeping the conversation real with straight talk and some humor. Because all my pals will confirm that I'm hilarious. If you've been searching for a helpful and heartfelt virtual learning opportunity without judgment, well, sister friend, this podcast is for you. Welcome to the Southern Fried Business Podcast. Hey, yo, welcome, welcome, welcome. I am so glad you're here. So we are back today to continue our money series on how to build your financial life like a dream home, right? We're going to be adding onto your roof. So hang tight. Because just like George Jefferson and Wheezy, you are moving on up. So this is money in your 40s. So I'd like to step back and review what we've covered so far. So far we've done money in your 20s, which is the foundation, and money in your 30s, which is the framework of your home. So money in your 20s, let's touch on that really quick. In your early adult years, you should be focusing on the foundation of your home, shoring up against any threat to your hard-earned savings for years to come. And I always say the unsexy piece. Those foundation components are emergency fund. Financial industry guidelines suggest that you need to have 6 months worth of expenses in a savings account, cash, just in case. This makes sure that you don't panic if you're fired, you get sick, you can't work, or just maybe in case of an international pandemic, I don't know, maybe, whatever. So the way to do that, hun, is that you go in and whether you do Quicken, you just look at all the bills that you get in a given month, however you like to run your books, look at all your outgoing bills every month. Add it up for that month and time that month by 6, and that's what you should have in savings. Number 2 is a will. You might feel that you're too young for this one, but it's never too early to write down your wishes if, God forbid, something unexpected happens to you. Disability insurance. Well, you're in luck. This one is easy. Usually your job will have this one as part of their employee benefits program. I'd elect as much as you can afford. Trust me, you'll thank me later. But important, if you grab this benefit through work, it will not travel with you. Meaning that if you leave your job, you will have to get a new policy or a new coverage with your new job. Or to beat that system, you've got to apply for a personal policy and pay for it yourself. Number 4, life insurance. This is an easy one too, in that you can usually get more life insurance through your employer. I would purchase as much as you're allowed because A, that means it's probably limited or no health screening, and B, it will be inexpensive. But just like DI, if you buy through work, it will not go with you if you change jobs. You'll need to get a new policy through your new employer or get a personal policy. Hot tip, not a hot stock tip, that drives me insane, but hot tip, I'd buy a personal policy as soon as you can. If you don't have these checked off your list yet, no problem. You can catch up and get those checked off your list ASAP so you don't miss a beat. So let's touch on money in your 30s, which was the framework. So this consists of college education strategies, retirement strategies, and tax strategies. So I will quickly recap those. College strategies. Will you send your kid to college? What costs should I expect? How much of costs do I want to pay? What could I afford to save? This is a whole philosophical discussion we can have, and I will have it, because here is something interesting. I don't believe in paying for my child's college. And I know that's kind of a disruptive thing to say, but stay tuned in a future episode, because we're going to be talking about all things college and why I feel that way. Retirement strategies. Do you participate in your company's 401k plan? If so, you should defer at least enough to get the employer's entire matching money. And then taxes. Even if the Beatles wrote a song about how terrible the tax man is, they're still a part of our financial lives, unfortunately, and we do need to have a plan just for them. It's just part of life. Whew. Okay, that was a ton. But if you love checklists like I do, then we've successfully crossed a few things off, and that should make you feel pretty amazing. And don't worry, sis, if you don't have these things marked off yet, play some catch up, go back and see where you can get some SHRT done, right? Ketchup's fun. Ketchup's easy, because that's immediate satisfaction, right? So let's move into money in your 40s. So in my home building metaphor, I equate this time in your life as if you were putting the roof on your financial dream home. So I keep hearing that 40 is the new 30. I'd wish somebody would confirm that for my knees, because these two honeys feel like they're 90. Especially with taking up tennis again, and I am sore. But in keeping with our dream home build, our roof, we're starting to put shingles on that bad boy. And to finish it off, we need to work on asset allocation and investment strategies. But stay with me. That sounds super fancy. I don't know if you can hear my dog barking in the background. Cash is his name. But those are fancy terms in the financial world, which I will explain. So asset allocation. I'm sure you've heard this term before, but do you actually know what it means? Most people I talk to don't, and that's totally cool. But in its simplest form, asset allocation refers to the strategy of dividing your investments among different asset categories like stocks, bonds, real estate, cash, cash alternatives. We've got tons of choices here. But the idea is that you're reducing your overall risk and or market ups and downs by lessening your exposure to any one investment at any given time. So, because I'm old, do you remember 2008 and 9? Some of you might not. Some of you might have been kids. You know, some of you might remember it vividly like I do, where there was no asset allocation, just flat out didn't work in 2008 and 9 because everything sucked. And I'm oversimplifying, but everything sucked. Usually if stocks are bad, then bonds are good, or vice versa. Or if general and traditional investments, stock market type investments are bad, then real estate's good, or something else would be on the up. And in 2008 and 9, it just all sucked. So asset allocation was tested very hard during that time frame. But generally speaking, I think this is a great way to make sure you spread your risk. If you put all your eggs into one basket, even if it's a conservative basket, that is still risky. So let's see. Oh, hot tip. Or should I say, scandalous story. My mom used to work for a pretty large investment firm for many, many years. She would always brag, and she was an assistant, by the way. She was not the broker or the advisor. But she would always brag that all their clients were so well diversified. They had a broad range of investments between like large cap, mid cap, value. I mean, just you name it. Oh, we're just so diversified, Connor. And that all sounds great. I mean, seriously. But there's one glaring problem here, which took me about 5 years to convince her. that no matter how diversified you are with your investments, make no mistake, you are not diversified. Why? Do you know? Can you tell me? Can you reach through this podcast microphone and tell me? Well, I'll tell you why. Because all your funds, your diversified funds or monies, are still in the stock market. So to be truly diversified means having investments and savings not only inside the markets, but also outside the markets. So what would that look like? What about real estate or life insurance? Did you know that you could classify, depending on the type of life insurance you buy, as a savings tool, which would be an investment? Maybe it's a business. There's lots of choices out there. So next in the roof, the building of the roof, are investment strategies. If you've tuned in to Money in Your 20s and Money in Your 30s, you're probably asking me, like, what are you talking about, Connor? It's almost like Different Strokes. Remember that from early 80s TV show? What you talking about, Willis? You've already heard about investing, right? Well, kind of. In your 30s, I discussed taking advantage of your company's retirement plan, which does involve investment choices. But in your 40s, we're really getting into the thick of it. These choices refer to any assets that you're saving outside of qualified accounts, which are 401k accounts, for example. All of my online business friends are always talking about imposter syndrome and not to compare ourselves to what everyone else is doing. So in essence, stay in your own lane. However, with your investment strategies, I want them to have a little bit of imposter syndrome. You need to compare your investment choices in your retirement plans to the choices you're making with your outside investments. Get very intentional with your picks and don't duplicate, because that is one of the roads to failure. Now, in your 40s, what you should also evaluate is your risk tolerance. I define risk tolerance as how many ups and downs you can take in the stock market without throwing up. If your stress level cannot take the volatility, then choose a more moderate to conservative investment portfolio. You can still make great money. If your outlook on life is balls to the wall, then look at some aggressive portfolios. The financial world can be daunting, for sure. I know it's not a subject that's always user-friendly, accessible, or even directed particularly to women, but, and it's a pretty important but, even if you're not a Kardashian, if you're ready to take charge of your personal finances, then congratulations. There's nothing more empowering than understanding how money works, and more specifically, how it can work for you. So I hope to see you for my final installment of our four-part money series, Money in Your 50s. So I don't know if you've visited our website. We just had a name change from Southern Fried Business to ConnorCMorganti.com, which is my name. But we have lots of free resources there. I have a great Contact Me page. If you have a question, send me an email. It's just that easy. And I'm trying to increase that library of free resources for you about all things money, just to make your life easier and maybe help you live that life that you once dreamed of. I've included the link in the show notes, also known as the blog. So head on over and check it out, because, like L'Oreal, you're worth it. Later, Gator. Thank you for joining me today on the Southern Fried Business Podcast, where I help women gain the confidence they need to take control of their checkbooks and live the life they once envisioned for themselves. Join me next week for another timely info drop that will help you level up. Ladies, it's time to fund your life.